Father, I praise you for being the God who has mighty power, as we just sang about in this hymn. Especially that everything borrows life from you and is ever in your care, and everywhere that we can be, you are present there. What an amazing truth, an actual fact. It's not a lie, it's not made up, that you are a God who is near, that you are a God who's present. So help me now in my weakness and muddled brain to clearly proclaim truth about the nearness of our God, who has called us out of darkness into light. So I pray that you would speak through my words and into hearts and minds here of these very dear and precious sisters who have taken time sacrificially this morning to gather together and learn about you, Father, the one they love most. Thank you for your great love that you lavished on us through your precious Son's life and death and resurrection. Jesus, in his name we pray, amen. I don't know if you ever feel alone or lonely. Do you sometimes feel alone? And you have to ask yourself, when do I feel alone? And I have found a lot of times I feel alone. It's closely connected with fear for some reason. Recently, a dear one said it's like a wall between God and me sometimes. And it sure feels that way, where he has been so sweet and near in other portions of my life. At least I felt that way. And then other times, it's not that way. And I struggle, and I wonder if you also struggle. And so I especially wanted to talk about that this morning, about the nearness of God and what does the Bible say about it. So the question a little bit is, why is he not near to me? And we have to also then ask, is it that I'm not his? We have to actually go back to that first. If you personally have never repented and said, I am a sinner, I am in need of a savior. If you've personally never accepted Jesus to take your place and be believing that he died on the cross for you and taking all of the penalty of your disobedience before God, if you've not done that, then this doesn't even matter, because that's the first level. And so if you haven't done that, definitely talk to me or someone here about what does it mean to believe in Jesus as Savior and follow him as Lord. But so the first question is, are you saved? And what does that mean? Another question, if you're not feeling near to God, I would say is unconfessed sin. It's interesting. Someone just told me this week that in your relationship with God, you're the only sinner. So God's like, you're the only sinner in this relationship. If there's something not right between you that's unconfessed sin, that would be another thing to consider. We have a God who, though he created and continues to orchestrate every atom, molecule, everything, tiny to gigantic, but we have a God who actually wants that closeness and that relationship. And if there is a barrier, he beckons us to come to him honestly and ask. So we get to ask, what's wrong between us? Is there something I'm not right with you about. I love lately that I've heard this from several of you. I don't want there to be something not right between me and God. I want to know what that is. That's beautiful. So we do sometimes not feel near to him. I wanted to quickly play a song that I gave you guys the text because I'm a really visual person. So if you go to page, what page is it? Oh, no.
That really helps too because
sometimes I think this might have died.
I can't understand the words in a song.
I think it died. Oh, no, it didn't die. Praise the Lord.
Even Here?
I got the wrong plug. Yes, so I'm going to play Even Here, the song. Just follow along the words. I think this summarizes a little bit of what it feels like to be alone. I really love that song. It's actually, some songs sometimes bring me to tears, and this is one for sure. And I wanted you to hear it because I want you to know that when you feel like you're drowning, God is the one who finds you in the depths. And he is your everything when you have nothing left. Even in the unknown, you're never alone. So that's what we're going to hunker down on today. I love reading from those saints, those dear ones, those holy ones who have gone before. And you guys, I hope, know this from me. I'm always pushing out Amy Carmichael a bit and others. But her devotional, Edges of His Ways, which is just some thoughts from her as she spent her life in India rescuing children from the temples and different horrific things. She said, "Have you ever thought of how infectious fear can be? It spreads from one another more quickly and certainly than any of the fevers we know so well. So for the sake of others, let us refuse the spirit of fear, which God never gives us." We know that from 2 Timothy 1:7, right? He gives us a spirit of power, love, discipline. And thank God, courage is as infectious as discouragement. 2 Timothy 1:7. So haven't you felt cheer and strength that come from someone whose mind is stayed on God? I have. And another reason is when we're downhearted or fearful or weak, we're saying to everybody by looks and deeds, if not by words, our God is not to be absolutely trusted. That's what we're saying. So for the greater glory of our glorious Savior, who has never once failed us and never will fail us, who has loved us and led and guarded us all these years, let us look to him and pray from the ground of our heart, Lord, give us valor, courage. Because to know him is to have no fear. The more we know him, the less fear we have. And he is not far off. It sometimes feels like it, but he is near. And I'm going to spend a lot of time now talking about how near. James, who is actually the biological brother of Jesus, says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Right? James 4:8. He's the giver of all things. Why would he not give us that nearness when we ask him? True. So we're going to pop now throughout the Bible. I'm going to be very quick. In my Bible read-through, I've been thinking about this topic for at least a year, if not longer, because it is something I struggle with all throughout my Christian walk, is feeling not near God and wondering about that. In my Bible read-through, as I read through, it's popping out everywhere how near he is. So I'm going to share a few of the things that have popped out to me over the course of the last year. I highly recommend, again, that you guys are reading through the Bible. It's great to be doing in-depth Bible studies like the 2 Timothy one we're working through, but put a bookmark in the Old Testament, Psalm, Proverb, New Testament, and just keep moving them every day, right? That's something that is invaluable. I'm now to the point that it's like a crawl. Not even a crawl. What's less than a crawl for me? Because my bookmark's been in Jeremiah for months, right? You can get through the Old Testament if you read 3 chapters a day and just keep moving a psalm, a little bit of Proverbs, and a chapter, half a chapter in a New Testament. You can do the whole Bible in a year, no problem. But I'm stuck a little bit because of my mental limitations with Psalms. A little Jeremiah and then John right now. But so you're going to hear from those places especially, I think. But in the Old Testament, I wanted to point out that the Old Testament is a shadow. And it was a physical manifestation of God in different ways, physical promises. The New Testament is substance and it's spiritual. So the promises here are different, right? The Old Testament, God was with Adam and Eve. I mean, he walked with them in the garden. He noticed, like, where are you guys, right? That's a with, right? Abraham, we see him with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Moses. Moses is even like, I can't talk really great. And he's, who am I? I should go to Pharaoh. And the Lord says, I will be with you in Exodus. He's with Joshua. I will be with you. The Lord God is with you wherever you go. With David, with Solomon, David prays for his son. Be strong. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. The Lord God is with you. I love the Psalms. Chewing my way through Psalm 23 lately, over and over, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The first time that struck me, I was on a campus bus at Rutgers University, and I was listening to a song, and it was like, I think it was like Petra or some old rock group. or the lead singer that broke away. I don't know. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, was in the song. And I remember looking out the window and saying, what does that even mean? And that day I got a call that my mother was in the hospital with emergency surgery. Whoa. That was the beginning of her leaving this earth, right? This is what it means. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing. For why? What's the purpose? You're with me. We have experienced the loss of dear ones. It's so hard. It's grievous, and we don't even realize the effect and how it plays out in days to come. This is hard. But what joy. He is with you, and he comforts us. Another psalm, the Lord is near the brokenhearted. When you're so brokenhearted, who do you turn to, or who is even there? He is, always. And he saves the crushed in spirit. Blessed is the one he chooses and brings near. And he does. How? He saves. That's another psalm. Another psalm. This one by Asaph. It is good for me to be near God. And another one, Psalm 91. I will be with him, he says. I will be with you. Psalm 139, he knows me so intimately, knits me together, knows all everything before even it happens. He says in this one too, if I go really far away, you're there. You're with me. You lead me. You hold me. Psalm 145, near. He's near to all who call on him. Israel in Deuteronomy, the Lord goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. I have to add here Elijah. I thought of this after Leslie shared a little at our Bible study, but I was just thinking, man, that is just like Elijah. He had just done Mount Carmel with all that that the Lord had displayed and thrown fire down to lick everything up, including all the water and everything. And then he's so down and so sad and so lonely, right? And he's afraid. It says he's afraid and he wants to die. And he tells God, I don't care anymore. I want to die. And God gives him a nap. God gives him a snack.
There we go.
This is helpful. Sometimes we really need a nap and a snack. I mean, that order often. Sleep. We need sleep. Lord, give us sleep. And then he says, God says, only me. And he comes in a gentle whisper, right? And then he says, you know what? In 1 Kings, you can add this. I didn't write it in the notes. 1 Kings 19:12, the gentle whisper. And that there's, you know, actually, Elijah, you're not alone. There's actually 7,000 others that haven't bowed the knee. So just so you know. Isaiah, fear not. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Jeremiah, there's so many in Jeremiah. I was blown away. There's so much disobedience and wretchedness, and Jeremiah is not treated well. He has cause to feel very fearful and very alone a lot. But he writes, am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? And of course the answer is yes, you are a God at hand and you are not far away. I could go through so many more in the Old Testament, but we're going to jump to the New Testament for a minute, to Paul, who is speaking to the men of Athens at the Areopagus, and he says, God made one man from every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. So it is an absolute Bible truth that God is a God of nearness. So in the New Testament, God is with us because the greatest reason. He sent Jesus, Emmanuel, which actually literally means God with us. And it's so incredibly a beautiful picture where Jesus even says in John 8, he who sent me is with me. He hasn't left me alone, right? And this is what we get to be a part of as his followers. So he sent Jesus. He promised that we would never be alone. Why would he even say this to his disciples in Matthew 28, 20? I am with you always. Because he knew we would need that in the years following as his followers. This is one of the greatest things to hold on to as we go into all the world here, Santa Rosa, and make disciples and teach others about Jesus, is that we have a God who is with us always. Like always. He says always. So these are his final words offering us assurance. How is he with us always? Through the Holy Spirit. He promised this. Read all of his final prayer in John, the chapters of John, right, where he's talking to his disciples and talks a lot about the Holy Spirit. He says, the Spirit of truth will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is an ongoing presence within a believer who is following Jesus Christ. And it empowers you, provides you with constant guidance. He is an advocate helper. He is what's causing us not to be controlled by our sinful nature, our flesh, but by his very Spirit. And we are the temple of the Spirit. What a joy. How else? In the church. We know him and his nearness through the church, through the one another's. Because where two or three are gathered, there I am among them, right? This making disciples, being together, sharing life. If I'm lonely and I feel alone, one antidote for sure is reaching out to my sister and saying, please pray for me, pray with me right now. And also just serving one another in the church. That is always going to make God nearer. And I can't wait till heaven, little side note here, because then it will be perfect nearness, right? In every way with each other and with our God, it will be wonderful. And then another way that we get to know his nearness is through scripture and prayer. This is huge. This is huge. I don't know how many times I've talked to someone and they're just like, yeah, I'm not doing so well in my walk. And oh yeah, how's your time in the Word going? Oh yeah, I haven't really spent time in the Word, right? That's just a really clear indication that you're not going to be close to God if you're not hearing from him through his Word. And prayer, talking to him, an awareness of his presence. James, again, the brother of Jesus, come near to God, he will come near to you. Wash your hands, sinners, purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded, be solid and single-minded on Christ.
Sorry.
Oops. Philippians 4. Also, again, the Lord is at hand. We don't need to be anxious. We get to pray, and then his peace will guard our hearts and our minds. Is that nearness, do you think? Would that communicate nearness if he's actually guarding our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus? Absolutely. So then you have to say, well, so what? What happens as a result of his nearness? Some of the good things that happen as a result of his nearness is that your fear and is overcome. You have actual security knowing him, that I am his, he is mine. I love John 10. It was actually the chapter when I was realizing at a camp when I was about 12 years old that I'd never talked to God. And there was a picture of like a path leading to hell or not. And I was like, well, I definitely don't want to go there. And what is this about Jesus? And I've heard about him in church all my life, but what does it mean to me, right? And I talked to the speaker and he explained the gospel to me and I believed, and he read John 10 with me, which always is such a sweetness to think of our good shepherd, and that he says, Jesus says, no one will snatch you out of my hand if you are mine. No one is able to snatch you out of my Father's hand. So guess where you are right now? In his hand. Is that a nearness? Yes. And we have to remember these Old Testament and New Testament promises. Hebrews 13 also talks about it. I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can confidently say, he's my helper. I will not fear. This is actually a quotation from Joshua and from Psalms. And then Romans 8. We're hearing preaching through Romans 8, and this is something that we really need to be chewing on every day, that we can say with confidence, I am sure nothing at all can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. So this is what happens. I no longer have fear. I have security because I am in his hand. I am so close. He tells me this. And then it also transforms me. His presence within me changes me, bringing me peace and purpose. I'm in Christ. Christ is my life. For me to live is Christ. This has changed my life entirely. And he is near to me as I'm being transformed. And then also, I have eternal hope. What joy that his presence is a foretaste of eternal life with him. He's going to prepare a place for us. He told us that. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place? I think of that so often, especially after the fire. Jesus is working to prepare a place for me so that I can go there. But I love what he says here. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself. I have to sit on that many a day. He said it. I mean, yes, I don't feel like that right now, but it's true. He is going to come. He's going to take me. And that where I am, you may be also. He wants me to be with him. Which leads to one of my favorite verses right now is the 1 Peter 1:8-9. What a sweetness to have Peter, who spent all that time with Jesus, write this to us now, that we haven't seen Jesus, but we love him. He's acknowledging that you haven't seen him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is pure contentment. Like, nothing else matters because I know him. And that is a fact. You are never going to be forsaken and you get to be content. He says it, it's truth. I will never leave you or forsake you. Never, never. It doesn't matter how you grew up or what your life is right now. As you look forward to 2026, no, he will never, ever, ever leave you or forsake you. And in this, forsake is actually a compound of three words in Greek, leave behind in. And it kind of conveys the thought of leaving your comrade exposed to peril in the conflict or forsake them in crisis or danger. But he says, I will not do that. I won't desert you. I will not leave you alone in a horrible battlefield or in a position of suffering. I won't leave you. I will in no wise let go or lose my hold, my sustaining grasp on you. Never. You guys know what's been going on personally in my life. Everyone has their stuff. I mean, I hate to even mention any of my stuff because I know you guys have so, so much. But even in this last month or two, there's just been a lot, right? I think it was really hard to deal with stuff like back to back to back to back. And it's been very difficult. There's been needs in the church always. And a question of a sabbatical, which means Carl having a little time away, which typically pastors get about every 7 years just so they don't burn out. And he's never had one. And it's been 27. It'll be 28. I feel deep loneliness sometimes. He feels that too. It's a spiritual battle for sure. Our church is lovely. I'm not saying that it's not. But there are things sometimes even that we don't know how to think about, or and we don't know what to do anymore. We've dealt with the whole aftermath of the fire and then our funky neighborhood and being a witness, right, with our neighbors and different things there, and our own adult children that went from professing faith to like going through the fire and now growing up and having to be the, you know, the ones the Lord has called them to be. And what does that look like? But what is our influence there? And so we grieve with their griefs. We suffer with their suffering. We have to navigate that. And then my father's decline and his stroke. And then right after that, my fall and this head injury and the concussion. And then Christmas was hard because everyone was sick or gone. And we were at Christmas Eve service like, okay, we're here alone almost. I know it wasn't completely true. There were some of you there, but it felt like that. Just felt very, very, very lonely. And we had a big sign inviting people to come to our service. And we're like,
that was the time when
I was feeling very lonely. Yes. And it's life. This is life. And there are other places in the world where, you know, it's, and even here, there's just, I'm kind of just being real honest with my own struggles. And I know there's a lot of all the truths I just shared that had to keep coming back to me to say, you are not alone. And you guys are so sweet. And there's so much to share about how the Lord was faithful through you guys. But I struggled just so deeply because of my own mindset and just the attacks, I guess, spiritually even, of the evil one that were so vicious. And then ending up with like getting, well, having the whole thing with Maggie's apartment flooding and having, you know, to care for them and help them. And then they were sick and then we were taking care of them. And then the UTI and the kidney infection and my ER experience and then my tooth breaking. And I get it hopefully fixed, Lord willing, Tuesday. Finances that we all like are grappling with. And then, yes, my tummy, more infections and taking more meds. But anyway, the practical application, what do we do with all this? Like, what's the practical application in that whole like blah to what do I actually apply now, knowing all these great precious truths that are fact about God is near and I am not alone? So what do I do as a result? This is not in your notes. I kind of added it here that you need to be honest with God. You need to be completely honest with him. Whether or not you are a journaler or not, I have to write. It helps me even to make bullet points and kind of dig deep and lay down every single thing that is bothering me. Whether it's a fact or not, really, it's just in my head. But it helps me, like, just say, I feel like this, and this is this, and this, and this. And then I say, Lord, this is all yours. So be brutally honest and say, I do not feel near you. You are so far from me right now, and I'm really struggling with that. Pray. This is it. You need to ask, is there something I need to confess? Is there a sin? So I would say that first thing is the honesty and then knowing who. Like, you have got to know who through his word and prayer, who I have believed. This is these truths, these songs we're singing, and what scripture I just shared with you is where I have to live every single day. Put them up all around your house, have them on your phone, have it all the time. Then also remember his faithfulness from the past. I'm so incredibly forgetful. I do not remember to remember. And we see that all throughout the Bible where God is like saying, hey, remember, remember, I did this, I did this. This is the same God who did all of those things and gave his son to die a horrific death on our behalf and raised him to life again and put his spirit within me. Like, I need to remember that. And then I need to remember how he's been faithful in the past, which helps if you journal, because you can read back in your journal and say, oh, wow, you answered this. You did this. If you keep a log of your prayer requests too, so good. So that's another kind of applicational, how do I do this? And then do it. Obey. Live Christ. Serve. Welcome people into your home. Have people over from the church, right? Serve people. I cannot stand some aspects of living where I live, but I can actually fix like a gift basket and bring it to the door, knock on the door and say, I just wanted to give you this stuff that I baked today or that I got out of my garden or something. And that is good for my heart, and it changes to make me know God's nearness, because he is with me as I trudge around that block to go to that house and knock on the door. That is when I feel very near the Lord, because it's not me in the least when I'm doing these things, right? Things are not how I want. I say this so much too sometimes, like, I don't know, Lord, I don't know. But he is. So you say, this isn't how I want it to be. He is always, always consistently how he is. So if I say, I don't know, I get to then counter it with, but he does. Like, I don't know what to do, or I don't know anything, but he does, right? So I don't know why you're not near to me right now, or how I feel. I'm feeling you're not near to me. Please, you do. Like, make it right between us. Remember? I'm the sinner in this relationship. That was so convicting. You know, he's the giver of all things. He promises that too. So he can give you the sweetness of his presence and his nearness. So always think, even if things aren't how I want them to be, he is always. This quote, Christ our Lord is with us. From all fearing, from all weakening, from all turning back, the Lord deliver us, that standing fast in one spirit, strong in the Lord and the power of his might, we might be to the praise of his glory and his grace. What a great prayer to pray. I wanted to mention Patrick. If you've been at the 9 a.m. Sunday school, which has been fantastic with Liam, he talked about Patrick. Yes, like St. Patrick, he was actually the one who in the 8th century was kidnapped from Scotland. His father was a deacon, his grandfather was a priest, and when he was 16, he was kidnapped, and they took him out of the bushes and took him hauled aboard to Ireland as a slave. There he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he wrote. The Lord opened my mind to an awareness of my unbelief in order that I might remember my transgressions and turn with all my heart to the Lord my God. He escaped and returned home eventually, and his family begged him never to leave again. But he did go back to Ireland when he was 30 with only one book, the Bible, in his hand. And he evangelized the countryside. People came to listen because they were such superstitious druids. He had lots of opposition and everyone wanted to kill him. That was a druid. But his preaching was powerful and he became one of the most fruitful evangelists of all time, planting 200 churches and baptizing 100,000 converts. Nice. So his work has endured, and several centuries later, the Irish church is still producing hymns, prayers, sermons, songs, And in the 8th century, an unknown poet wrote, "This be thou my vision." But it was a result of the going into all the world and making disciples of Patrick in Ireland that "Be thou my vision" even came about. So we don't really know who wrote it, but it is a fruit of Patrick's work in Ireland. And he wrote this. I put it down on your page 5 of your notes. But talk about the nearness of God. This is what Patrick said. "Christ with me, before me, behind me, in me, beneath me, above me, on my right, on my left, when I lie down, when I sit, when I arise. Heart of every man who thinks of me, in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, in every eye that sees me, in every ear that hears me. Christ wow. with me." Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. You can put it up in your house and think, this is nearness. This is nearness. And in an old hymn that I sent out at New Year's, the lines that are at the end of it, "I may not fear, for to the end thou lovest, who save only thee, the sinner's Savior and his friend, would set his love on me." He set his love on me? Huh. That I'm just, wow. "And on thee now my heart is set. Thy name is music unto me. Oh, help me never to forget that I am loved by thee." This is something that treasure, singing hymns. What do you listen to? Is it drawing you closer to the Lord? Wanda talked about this last night. A lot of this is parallel to Wanda talking about, like, what are you spending your mind on? What are you? And maybe, perhaps, those are things that are not cultivating a nearness with your Savior. Maybe. There was a Chinese pastor who was imprisoned in a labor camp, and his job was to shovel excrement, human excrement, so very, very smelly all day, every day. And it was so bad, the smell, the stench, but he sang praises and prayed and sang praises, right? Reminiscent of our other brothers, Peter, Paul, and Silas. And one of the hymns he sang was "In the Garden, He Walks with Me and He Talks with Me." And the praise was no one came near him ever because he smelled so bad. So he could sing as much as he wanted. And what a joy that that was his mindset. And do you think he felt near to God? Definitely, because that is the outflow of a praising, thanking heart, is the nearness. He's the one who gives us joy. Do you, like Paul, dwell on the character of God? Do you think about all that is lovely, noble, excellent? If you do, then you are near God, not just a subject, but a child, a precious daughter of your Father. This is an intimacy and fellowship that you will experience, and you will be able to say with the psalmist, "In your presence is fullness of joy." So I did want to end by saying again, he said that he's going to prepare a place for us so that where he is, we will be also. Can't wait for that day. But he also said all these things, including, "I am with you always to the end of the age," always near. And this is what our God is like. So praise God. We're going to pray just in conclusion. Father, you are a God who is near and not far off. You have said it repeatedly. Help us believe it. Take care of anything that isn't right between us. Help us really be honest with you. And then we pray for the powerful working of your Spirit that dwells within us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that we would be guided, directed, and that this would be a joy to obey you and live out newness of life, a transformed life, whatever that looks like this coming year, so near to you. And Father, I do pray for each one here that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and your love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.